7 o'clock.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Consciousness Shift. I'm Gwendolyn Berry and I'm in South Florida. And with me tonight, thankfully, is Nicole Tomasini up there in New York City in a tower of light where there's very little around.
Hi.
Whoa. And so, what was I saying? I can't remember. I'm sorry.
You were introducing us. I know. Mercury retrograde just slapped you in the face, right? We all know how that feels.
It's a consciousness shift. You know, I was on Ruth Ann Martifio's Gather Round table talk last night, and she had this wonderful fellow we got to get on. His name is Steve. I can't remember his last name, but he his thing is the Illuminati.net, and he's reclaimed the name of the Illuminati because what we know of it mostly these days from the meme and the norm out there that has been proposed by Anonymous, a group that I completely support and adore, still. Anon calls the Illuminati, you know, the 1%, and that's incorrect. The Illuminati is basically those folks who were awakened and who walked with sacred science and were persecuted by the church. And if you watched read Dan Brown's Angels and Demons and saw the movies with Tom Hanks and stuff, you have a little bit of a clue, you know? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep.
He's reclaimed that name, the Illuminati, and he has, it's Illuminati, d-illuminati.com, and it's a resource network for enlightened and awakening individuals, both politically and spiritually, which I think is pretty cool because you got to be hanging on both sides. And speaking of that, did you get out to the polls and make your vote?
I did. And I walked by this gigantic line on 14th Street, and I thought it was the audition that I was going to. I was like, oh, these people have got to be kidding. And then I realized that everybody was lined up to vote. That was incredible. But patiently waiting, reading their newspaper, New Yorker, whatever. So, but I voted down here. I only had three people in front of me, so.
Oh, wow. Well,
yeah.
And so anyways, I have to tell you, I think that some really very positive changes are beginning to happen. It was a great night Tuesday was a great night for women in general to be elected to the Senate, which we need women in places of leadership on this planet so much now. And also, it was a great night for my sister, Mary Jane.
Right. Well, yeah, man. Making her debut, right?
Yeah.
As a marijuana legal card-holding citizen. Sorry, go on.
Well, the marijuana laws, they are changing. And it was also a really great night for gay, lesbian, transgender, gender, bisexual, you know, the gay community. It was a wonderful night for the gay community, too. And it was, and when all was said and done, I thought, well, geez, this is pretty good night for awakening and enlightening people out there stepping out. I really did think that in the end, even though I'm not so happy with the majority of politics as they go on right now, I was very happy to see that, and I thought, that's nice. That's a positive shift.
Yeah, it definitely looks like it's a new world out there, like these things that have been, you know, swept under the rug or faux pas or, you know, don't touch that is now becoming, there's an acceptance And I guess, you know, with us humans, it always takes some time for, I mean, I guess it's that time that's needed to reach a critical mass where, you know, more people understand that we're all human and we're all just trying to make our way and be happy and however that works
it's
for us.
It's by inches and inches.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people I was on with on the other show last night were of the opinion that it's just as dark out there and gloomy because, you know, the haves are keeping on taking from the have-nots and la, 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 and la, la, la. And it's true. It's quite true. I have to agree with that. I also think, you know, we're here to roll up our sleeves and gird down for the shift that's going on. And one of the biggest things that we can do, one of the biggest tasks we have to perform is remaining in the positive light on all of this and to banish fear. And those things that occurred in the election were a complete rebuffing of fear-based mentality. And I was very pleased to see that. I really was. I thought, my God, you know, it's not about who wins and loses. It's about the trend, you know?
Mhm. Yeah. So I mean, I definitely agree, and I think you know, Obama's speech, his acceptance speech, I just felt like, you know, whatever has been done, let's see what he does in the next 4 years. But all the words were picture perfect. They really were. And
yeah,
my
they
mother
were. I have to say, mhm, they were. Mm-hmm.
My mother mentioned that one of the, I think Chris what's his name that comes on with Maddow, anyway, one of the news guys was saying, oh, you know, he should have talked more about this is a win for the Democratic Party and you know, he should have been more about being, you know, a Democrat. What does it have to do with anything? I'm so glad he didn't say that. That's like more of the whole separatism, mentality.
Yeah. Chris Matthews, he's taking a royal on it in the last 2 days, and he had to come out and apologize for his remarks.
Nice.
He's also, you know, Pat Buchanan was the old fart idiot on MSNBC for years. I guess that Chris Matthews is stepping real well into those
taking
shoes.
Over. They always have that one, you're telling me, apparently.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we wouldn't have anything to throw our rotten fruit at. But here's the other thing. Being on Ruth Ann's on Roz show with the table, you know, gather round, this gentleman that has this Illuminati.com, Steve, he's a remote viewer. Are you familiar with remote viewing?
No. Oh, yes, that you can see things from long distances and see what's going on. Isn't that what it is?
Well, yes, and the way it's actually done is people are given pictures of things in envelopes, and then they're asked to divine or to view, actually figure out what's in them, sort of like the Karnak of Johnny Carson, to put it short. I remember remote viewing experimentation going on in the parapsychology labs at Cornell when I was at school. I did not participate, but this fellow was a remote viewer, and he had some prognostications to put out there last night that were wild, simply wild. He saw some violence occurring in a chain link fence. He did not say who the high placed politico was. But he did say he saw. Joe Biden taking over very soon now, Joe Biden taking over Secretary of State, and Hillary Clinton taking over Vice Presidency. She will eventually become president in the next 4 years. This is all happening. It was just wild what he was saying. And I thought, well, okie dokie. But you never know.
Yeah, well, that's funny you say that, because last night I was talking with Zion, and he was like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if after these 4 years they actually kind of pushed Michelle to run. And I was like, wow, it's so funny, because we were kind of thinking that that was what would happen after Clinton. But, you know, Hillary was kind of like the first time, but also my opinion was that, you know, we all liked Hillary, but Hillary has that kind of, like, hidden anger. And also, like, I feel like, you know, some of her sexuality, it's not so much that she's got to come out as anything, if she is anything, but more like there's something that we all felt like she was kind of hiding all the time. And, like, you know, you wouldn't be surprised if she was, like, I don't know, in bed with the
people. I actually think the majority of the time she was hiding her frustration and anger with her husband for being, you know, a flapping dick myself.
Sure, and I think that's a lot of it, but I kind of wonder if some of it didn't
There's folks who have said things for years and years and years about her sexuality. I wouldn't even begin to, you know.
Yeah, and I'm not even saying that.
I'm not friends. But it could very well be. I kind of think if it were, it's not the lifestyle she's chosen, so it's personal. It's not going to be.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that she needs to say anything or anything. I'm just saying that whether she is or not is irrelevant. But there's something that, like, hidden. I don't know. That's just the vibe that I get from her. Is like something is always hidden, and it's kind of like anger and something that's kind of, you know.
Well, she is, you know what I think? I think that she has had to make her way in a male-dominated leadership game that she wanted
sure.
to play in and be a part of, and it shows that way. It doesn't surprise me at all that there are barriers up for her, because
sure.
how the hell could she have gotten down the road without them when you consider what she's been up against? I don't ever...
definitely.
Michelle Obama going into politics. That's just not her thing. She has done a fabulous job as First Lady. She's the first First Lady in so many years that shines so mm-hmm. much in her job. And she is very aware of who she is as First Lady. I don't see her as any kind of a political
person. I mean, you know. Who knows? But I just have to say, after saying that, I do like Hillary a lot. I mean, you know, and if it was her, you know.
We all like Hillary, you know.
Yeah.
We
I mean,
like
you can't help it. She's awesome, you know. That's all I'm saying is back then, that's what I was feeling from her. And, you know, I wasn't kind of crazy about that. But, you know, if Hillary is the full Hillary that I like, that would be awesome.
Well, but since that time and place, and perhaps even before, for me, she's not the kind of a leader I would choose again, because I look at how she's conducted. She's been an excellent, as far as politics as usual go in this country and on the world scale. She's done an outstanding job, don't get me wrong there, but the things that she has brokered and done in office for, you know, this presidency, for me personally, are so far away from what I would, you know, for what I actually am an activist for and mm-hmm. what I am an activist actively against, that so far away from what I see the world as being, that I would never support her again. Not unless she turned around and eschewed all the work she's done as Secretary of State. Because
mm-hmm.
it's been Hillary who's brokered this Pacific Treaty that allows profiteering corporations more power.
Yeah, man.
Not that. Not to ever, ever be responsible for what they have done to the environment or to a culture
wow.
or a state. then,
that's not good. That's not good at all.
Too. And this president is also, I rounded up a video of a friend of mine. Her name is Cherie Foytlin, and she's an activist. She was the woman whose husband is an oil worker, and when the BP thing happened, she's the one who was on CNN, and she begged President Obama to come down and see what was happening. And he never responded to her. In fact, he never responded to BP or the oil, the whole oil situation in the Gulf. What he did was he PR'd it and gave it to the hands of the Coast Guard and told them to do what BP told them to. And okay, we're going down a road that's really not the spiritual side, but it's the reality. It's
yeah,
the reality.
It pokes its head in sometimes, it seems, you know.
you know who you are, your character and your spirit. That's another thing. People vote as
mm-hmm.
who they are and what they think, you know? And so in that, I have to say that the election was pretty successful for the White Hats or the good guys, because
mm-hmm.
people voted for you know, not the fear-based dogma. They voted against that, and they put more women into power, which is really a beautiful thing, because the goddess really needs to be anchored on the earth, you know, and within the consciousness of everybody right now, and that's one way it happens. And also, the incredible amount of the incredible amount of good stuff by having, you know, the more states that legalize marijuana, the more ability for people to heal. Of course, I enjoy it as, you know, hey, I love to get high type of thing. I enjoy the effects of marijuana in my recreational time, if you will. I'm sure you'll agree with me there.
Absolutely. The vibration of it is very helpful, I find, right now, because, you know, it's such a ride. We all talk about the ride, but it truly is. And, you know, and it's a cerebral ride. So sometimes, you know, to have something, a surfboard, to me it's like a surfboard, you know, to be able to surf through these vibrations.
That's nicely put. That is very nicely put. Yeah, so, but medical marijuana, really, there really is such a thing as medical marijuana.
Yeah. Sure.
And medical marijuana, it works. There's also, for years, I've been creating an absolute oil, distilling, extracting, with solvent extraction of marijuana. And there are people who are steam expressing it, too, and they say that the oil is extraordinarily healing for people who are afflicted with cancer, in certain cancers. So, I mean, the more accessible it is, the plant becomes for people. And I found that a real sort of wedge, wonderful wedge thing that happened on in the election, that marijuana began to walk out. I it's like seeing that fabulous Freak Brothers, you know, cartoon, and the guy with the long leg. I thought, you know, wow, they're getting pots walking out into the communities, and I thought that was incredibly positive. So I oh, sorry about that, Elroy. So. Talk. Because I've got to, you know. Oh my goodness. So sorry. Keep talking.
Let's see. What were we talking about? Marijuana. Well, and also I think just since it is so medicinal and helpful with cancer patients, you know, there's also the whole idea of that we have these cures for these diseases, and we're because the drug companies and powers that be in the healthcare
They don't want to see us working with anything like that because
that's right.
They're pharmaceutical protocols.
That's right, and they'll stop taking. You know, if you don't need the drugs for as long or at all, you know, that's problems that takes money out of their pocket. You know, so it's a step in the right direction of healing, and also we all know how important the mind is in healing anything. So if you can relax your mind while your body is going through God knows what kind of havoc, right, it can only help you along with the actual medicinal purposes for being in your body, defending that way as well. But the mind, you know, if you can relax the mind, you can really heal anything, but you have to stay there. And, you know, when your body's going through it, it's not easy. Not easy.
Well, and like I was saying before, it's not just about the relief it brings to people when they're going
right.
through the treatment, the allopathic treatment of cancer, which is just barbaric as hell. The
mm-hmm.
poisoning of the body to get rid of a disease. It's just incredible. Nuclear medicine is crazy. I can't really discuss it at length because I'm not an allopathic doctor. However, it's pretty evident that, I mean, my own mom, she actively chose to go to the last moment. She knew she had a brain tumor, and she did not go to the doctor until there was no other choice because she wanted quality of life instead
yeah.
of quantity of time as a person that she had seen for many years of her life. People were completely, you know, ruined by radiation therapies. Just completely
yeah.
ruined. And, you know, it's so crazy that folks would want to take away any kind of you know, alleviation or cure or helpmate like marijuana, medical marijuana, when people are going through that. It's just
right.
amazing that
right.
healing to happen because it further substantiates this industry of medical care that's nothing but profiteering. It has very little to do with healing anymore. It has everything to do with making money for huge corporations and conglomerates. And that's why we have insurance, and that's why people die, you know, in this country and everywhere else, because they can't afford to buy healing, you know. Isn't that terrible?
Right.
You know what
amazing.
What that definition of a witch is by the church? It's the old country or village, or even in the cities back in the day, the healers, who usually bartered with or were taken care of by the community because this was what they were able to do. They were healers. They either apprenticed and learned about herbs and the healing properties of plants and how to work with them, and they had the ability to care for folks without agendas. You know, they were that kind of people. They were healers, and they understood their value to the community, and they took the risks in those days. I'm talking thousands of years ago. They took the risks, and they were, you know, exposed to terrible things that, you know, can you imagine seeing the Black Death? I mean, goodness. But, of course, the church was there then. But the church was really the first group of people because, you know, they one of the reasons they got rid of the women and men who were healers in the community was to undermine the authority of the old ways or the pagan ways, if you will, and supplant the church's dynamic into the community. And in order to be healed by the good brothers or monks or nuns or whoever was in there for the church, it was expected that you gave them more than just your good feelings and dinner or brought them blankets in the winter. No, no, they wanted coins. They wanted to tithe you, you know?
Wow, that is so interesting. I didn't know that. It's like the beginning of healthcare as we know it. Started with the church.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It's quite true. It's quite true. And what we have to do, of course, is get back to the old ways because be locally sustainable. You know, if I'm able to help out on my block by knowing how to work with herbs and simples and create remedies that are more potent nowadays than many of the pills and pharmaceuticals out there because we've grown so immune to them. Do you know how much is in our water supply?
Mm-mm.
Well, the antidepressants and antipsychotics and all those those damn things that people pee out, and then the reclaimed water that goes back through, I mean, especially in big cities like New York, Dallas, San Francisco. I mean, they can't get the Prozac out of the water. Everybody's getting some. You know?
Wow,
I mean,
that's amazing.
It's horrible. You know,
so water filters don't filter those out, like if you have a home water filter?
No.
Wow.
Some of the cleanest, best tasting water I've ever tasted has been in New York City. They have quite a reclamation service there. It's a matter of chemistry. You cannot filter so far Prozac and a few others out of the water system. The new molecules are still in there. So people are getting mild doses, and it's like being in the embryo or in your mother's womb, you know, and being an embryo, getting bombarded with these subtle amounts of stuff every day if you're using water, especially if you're drinking it. And people, to be healthy, should be drinking water, right?
Right. Wow, that is so interesting. And I'm sure in New York, you know, we have this great filtration system, but I'm sure we also have a whole lot of people on Prozac and so on and so forth.
New York is a very sophisticated community. And the people in New York it's a very sophisticated community, but I'll tell you what, as far as common sense or what my mother would have called horse sense, a lot of these very sophisticated people love to just go with whatever is the next new thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, it's like, and you guys call the people in the country simple and plain and out of it, you know, and yet you'll pay attention to whatever this guy over here who's making the most money this week says is it, you know?
Right.
There's
well said, absolutely.
and I wish she would call in. Our good friend Tricia P.E. Nolan is online, and she's saying that people flush leftover medications full strength down the toilet when somebody dies, and there's a huge amount of that goes on daily. She's quite right. I mean, my sister, actually, when my mother crossed that very day, she got home, and that was the first thing she did was she took my mother's pills and put them out in the canal, in the water off the dock at the house.
Wow.
She was like, you know, I said, wait a minute, give me the Valium.
Don't throw out the good shit.
She dumped like $600 worth of Dilatas, those very, very, very potent pills, good for her, which are like heroin addicts love, you know. She dumped those, and I think it was like $600 worth. I remember picking them up at the pharmacy. I said, wow, that was expensive. He says, yes, and he said, you're going to have to crush these and just give a little tiny bit to your mother at a time. And it was like, I was in such shock at the time anyways, but the pills themselves were just little tiny, tiny little balls, like maybe the size of homeopathy pills. Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
Those little sugar
pills. Amazing.
And there
yeah,
were
that like, kind of chemistry, right? I mean, just so small and so potent. I'm
oh,
sure
yeah. I crushed one up, and I took a little tiny bit of it and put it under my tongue to see what it, you know, why my mom hated it so. Oh, I found out. I was out of my body within minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just that potent. Bless my sister for going to the doc with all those medications, but still, there has to be a better way to get it. And it was not, that kind of pharmaceutical is not plant alchemy. It's a synthetic that does not break down and go back into the Earth Mother. It's like friggin' petroleum, you know? It's rendered into a new chemical that is harmful not only to, it's harmful to the environment. And that's basically what happens with these medications. Trisha also says the hormones in the water, too, leads to man boobs. Okay.
Wow. Isn't that
so
interesting?
Right, but, you know, save me a hit, will you? Okay.
Oh my God.
Mercury retrograde here. And it's very apparent by the show.
I know. It's so funny. But, you know, all of this really leads into, like, what we were saying earlier about, you know, just, like, hold on to the handlebars and ride it. I mean, you know, having a hurricane, which up here, it's like, we just became part of Hurricane Alley, like, you know, less than a year ago. Like, we just signed up. Like, we're the cadets, you know? And then on top of it, we've got this random nor'easter that, like, comes flying through. And then I see it's going to be, like, 60 degrees this weekend. So, you know, it's like.
The weather the weather is really flying a flag here. If you take a look at the very extreme, I mean, it's going to be, last night it was 44 degrees here.
Yeah, in Florida, that's nuts.
In South Florida, you know.
Yeah, feels cold. It feels cold down there.
It was. Tonight it's, right now it's 61 degrees, which is still, you know, it's a little with all the wet air.
Mm-hmm. It's a little nippy.
It's a little bone chilling is what
mm-hmm.
it is.
Mm.
So it's, you know, it's freaky. To have all of this going on right now, I think it's this last layer of the onion being peeled back, you know, before winter solstice. Okay.
Well,
I opened up the microphone for Trisha.
Thank you. Just as I was shutting off my volume on my computer. So, anyway, if I turn off the show. I read about so many women are on birth control pills, and when the hormones that you pee out do get into the water, and it's really true.
Yes. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. I mean, folks don't understand the basic ecological system. They don't know what you know, the village takes to run from the environmental side of the. It's not a surprise. It shouldn't be a surprise to us. I mean, we didn't have. There should be a basic class in school And I think it should begin in grade school, teaching children about the ecology of the planet, what a safe, normal for the Earth environmental or ecological system is, so that they're aware when they're participating in its destruction, they have a choice, you know?
Mm. Right.
I really do think that's important. It's like, why did they take civics out of the public schools? Well, it seems like they did because they wanted the rise up of what we've been dealing with for the last how many years.
Well, you know, that's something that I've been paying attention to for a while. And, I mean, you can trace it back to, essentially you can trace it, Ronald Reagan and the Back to Basics movement in the, I don't know, like 82, 83, around in there is when that sort of, civics in particular, was left out because when you think of Vietnam and all the kids that were saying, hell no, we won't go.
Right.
And all of the people who understood their rights very clearly back in the 60s when there was the last great social movement, if you're Richard Nixon and his interns, Karl Rove and Dick Cheney, you know, you're going to be, and it's no shit. Dick Cheney and Karl Rove were right there with Richard Nixon looking out at everybody saying, you know, I'm not listening to you, and they started eliminating certain very critical thinking, in particular the civics, in particular the high stakes testing was implemented pervasively across the country, and the way that the subjects are tested separately, the children and the high school kids, students are not going to get the right answer on the fill in the blank, you know, the little fill in your bubble, your computer bubble with your number two pencil. There's no payoff in understanding the connection between history and science, for example, so that if a scientific discovery led to a change in philosophy, like the discovery that the Earth is round or that the Earth is not at the center of the solar system, or the Gutenberg Bible, I mean, the printing press, how the printing press, that invention led to the Enlightenment.
Right.
But if you're testing subjects in isolation, then there's no payoff in understanding the connection. And there's a writer called Jonathan Kozol, and he uses an example of how when kids can't make connections, then the mine owner's daughter will not understand that her expensive prom dress was bought on the backs of the laborers.
Well, and that whole came to a, I just got to interject this here. It seems as though there's an awakening actually going on, because a lot of that just got, even though I my candidate didn't win, I do think that there was a positive action on Tuesday in America's vote, because I think it was a slap in the face to that kind of dynamic.
I absolutely agree, and I think that, you know, I credit Occupy and, you know, the Arab Spring before that, and, you know, the global consciousness that you're addressing tonight. Yes, there is, or every Thursday night, that the consciousness is shifting little by little. And even though, you know, you have these big institutional machines like public education in America that's dependent on standardized testing, which teaches you to be basically stupid, so that, you know, you think you're smart if you get a good grade on your SAT, but you don't have to be able to know your head from your ass, and that's, you know, basically it, you know. And so Occupy, I think drew it to the forefront. I really do think the awareness about economic inequity was put on the front page, or at least the third page.
Well, it, It was, and from the other point of view, it's recognizing the things that people have just understood to be true anyways. How can you understand that allopathic health care and the way they treat cancer normally in this country is not cruel? Anybody who's been through it understands the cruelty and the barbaricness of it. It's not healing. It's and we've been programmed into thinking it is, but people are beginning to say, wait a minute. You know, what? There, of course, is remission. There is cure ratios attached to it. That's true. How often? What are the statistics on that? They're far less.
Mhm. And also, I think a lot of it is that many people maybe even see the barbarism of it, but they don't know that there is another choice, that there's another way. They think, oh wow, it's such a shame that these people need to go through this, but you know, I guess that's what you have to do. And so, like, the re-education of the fact that no, there's no reason to do this. There are other ways. You know, in so many things, not just with cancer. Like, you know, that seems to also be the through line. You know, it's like, no, it does not have to be this way. There are other ways, and here they are. Here's some suggestions.
Well, that's one of the bright aspects of the election the other night, too, is the walking out the door of medical marijuana. And just, it wasn't just medical marijuana, you know. The decriminalization of marijuana as, you know, as a light inebriant or get happy tool.
Get happy tool.
Let me put the pot down. But these things were groundbreaking in their day, which was like, what, probably like over 12,000 years ago when people started working with plants to heal their bodies effectively. I'll tell you what, I'm thinking marijuana was there, and boy, were them some four-fingered bags.
Totally, man.
So it was a good thing. It was a good thing, all in all. Really bright moments in the election, and I'm going to be seeing it up on Sunday too, because it you know, enough with hello. Enough.
Is that,
with the
Trisha? Are you making noise? What's happening?
What, me? What? Now I was switching to speaker.
Okay.
What, am I
you
making noise?
I don't know. We were just wondering.
Yeah. So I do think that there were many bright lights that got turned on Tuesday evening, and the first and foremost one was the slap in the face to the fear-based ignoramus political agenda that has been going on since Trisha pointed out quite rightly, since the neocon era was ushered in with interns like Rove and Cheney. Did anybody catch how Mr. Rove's head exploded the other night on Fox? All the payoff that's in the news now, I mean, my goodness, are they catching hell? The billionaires are really unpleased.
Wow.
Jeez. Yeah, wow. They don't like to lose. Those guys do not like to lose.
No,
I read it with a good article in New York Magazine about, you know, them jokingly asking for their money back. You know, but there was something, I can't remember the name of the article, but it was in New York Magazine about billionaires and no return on this investment that they had turned their backs on Obama and thinking that, you know, that suddenly it would be cool to use your private jet again if what's his name, Romney, was in.
For some reason, I keep wanting to call Romney Biden now, and I know that's totally wrong. But anyway, it was a good write up in the New York Magazine. There's been a lot of good write ups lately, little by little, you know. But there's also been a lot of real animosity, especially on Facebook, and people just being like really angry. And my mother said, my mother lives down in Texas, so she's surrounded by these guys, and says they cannot stand it that the black man is the president again, are trying to just find other things to complain about. But that's really, I mean, they're foaming at the mouth. They can't stand it. So
they can't. And the day of the white man supremacy is, yes, I think, very well displayed by today's hangdog, pullback, sit down hard, Mr. Boehner. In the Congress, he's just like, oh my God, he really is right out there in front of the cameras and everything. We all know he loves a good cry, and he's probably had a few drinks, you know. Bless his little old heart. Things turned around real quick, didn't they?
Well, I have a question. So here we are, you know, what we've been talking about and what we've all, you know, lived through in the last few days. So we have this election, we have these storms that have happened, where we're at in the calendar. So now it's Mercury retrograde. So pontificate a little bit, if you will, Gwen, on like what that means for like our ride ahead.
I got to tell you, I have personally had a couple of really emotionally shaky days, and I realize that I've allowed myself to get into, well, you know, personal issues of need or whatever. But basically, there's all of this. Now, we've just been talking about how an awakening has really actually subtly taken place in this country. Can you imagine the amount of anger, like Trish just said, her mother is surrounded by in Texas, but there is all of this going on out there, this either this confusion or outright nastiness, consciousness of this country right now that, you know, the good guys won type of thing. I don't know how else to put it. We're dealing with that, but as far as the Mercury retrograde goes, it amplifies the negative. That I do know. It amplifies the negative. And so perhaps we're feeling that oppression. But if you look on it, this is the damn strangest Mercury retrograde I've ever seen. Most of the astrologers that I know or follow or their predictions for all of this had some really crazy stuff out there, none of which has happened. All the positive has actually happened, like it did the last time. So I would say there's no rules in play here like we have been used to as far as astrological influences. We have got galactic influence right now. Not solar, but galactic influence going on right now. So there's the difference, and I would highlight the good stuff that happened on Tuesday night as a major reflection of that galactic influence. It should have been, according to solar, old paradigm. It should have been really hard and tough, and perhaps the bad guy wins or whatever. But we have galactic, straight galactic influence going on right now. Look what happened. I mean, look what happened. Motherfucker, the president is black. Still, we can roll in smoke if we got them in certain states. And gay people have the right to go and get married. And women are going into the Senate. I mean, shit, that's galactic influence, if you ask me.
Yeah.
The old paradigms are shifting. That's the point. The old paradigms are shifting. They are shifting. We may be going through our day-to-day, challenges and fears and all of that and being challenged to put the fear aside. But galactic influence just slapped the hell out of the United States of America, I think.
Wow. Wow.
You know, it's like when you talk about putting fear aside, you know, I'm thinking a lot about voting for Jill Stein, which I did. And that was really, for me, I mean, it was the first time I would ever do such a thing as not vote for a Democrat, okay? That's just, that doesn't happen in our family. And, you know, we had some really challenging discussions between my parents and me about, you know, like as if I was going to be personally responsible for Roe v. Wade being overturned.
Yeah.
I hear you. Okay, Patricia Allen, you better not do that because, you know, and my dad is still pissed at Teddy Kennedy for running in the primary against Jimmy Carter. You know, and so, I mean, he takes, you know, I mean, and we had to go through, you know, Ralph Nader and just every argument, every entrenched Democrat will give for, we understand about the drones, Patricia, and we understand you're upset, you know, because from my perspective, I mean, I care about my vagina as an American woman, and I think that we should all work hard to keep Republicans and others out of our vagina. Nobody's in there unless you say so, right? Especially not Todd Akin, okay? And it's so, yeah, I get it, and I appreciate that. But for myself,
Sanders, we are all on a pot of gold, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I keep thinking about the vaginas of these Pakistani girls that have blasted to bits in the drone attacks.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm glad that our vaginas have been protected here in America and we have the right to marry whoever, but it would be nice if these kids in Pakistan had the ability to grow up and get married.
Right.
And so, for me, it became down to, like, I heard what they were saying, and I'm living currently with a woman who was really afraid that even New York might not, like, if the Republicans upstate voted, that New York could go red. You just never know what's going to happen. And it's like, everybody was so afraid.
Yeah, they were.
You know, and I mean, like, I don't discount the fear of a Romney presidency, okay? I really don't. I mean, but I had friends in Texas telling me that if Romney gets elected, they're going to be locking up the Jews again. I'm like,
wow.
What the fuck? Because of that silver, whatever his name is, the casino guy gave a shit ton of money. And so, you know, it was like, whatever. It was just like, where we're headed if this happens. And, like, I know it would be some shit, okay? But they were so afraid. And it wasn't just the Republicans that were afraid of you know, whatever Rush Limbaugh says, or the Democrats that were afraid of the Republicans. I think everybody was afraid. And they were trying to tell us what to do and who to vote for based on fear. And I think I stepped outside of it. I know many people did it and went ahead and voted green, which, you know, she didn't get 5%. It was, I mean, it just thinking towards the future and the consciousness shift and where we need to go, I feel like we totally needed people to do both, to vote for Obama, because when they went out and voted for Obama, that gave those of us in the states that were ignored. I mean, if you listen to why Obama won and how they paid attention to four demographics in 9 states.
Yeah, I read that.
And so they focused on those people and their votes because they didn't give a flying fuck what we had to say in the other 40 states, because they could count on our vote, whatever. And as much as it makes me mad at the guys who focused on them and not me, as my own ego gets pissed, the thing is that those who went back and voted Democrat because they could not do anything else, gave those of us who didn't the safety.
Mm-hmm.
To go ahead and go on the limb and do that. So I think we needed people to do both, to some take the step outside of the box and go green, because we had the cover. They had our backs, the people who were going to vote for Obama, for whatever. Anyway, I appreciate both positions, and I'm glad that everybody did both.
It makes a lot of sense.
But the whole thing. Well, I'm one of those people who have always voted my principles. I'm in a swing state. They still haven't called me down here yet. I do think it's blue, though. I'll tell you what. I'm really glad that Alan Grayson is back. And
you and me both. I had to give a woohoo, woohoo.
So I'm also very, very happy that in my own neighborhood here, Patrick Murphy will be the congressman, even though Alan West is trying to take it to court, will be the new congressman, taking that idiot out. So I would say that the white hats won the day, and I do think it was a galactic influence. I do think there is a subtle paradigm shift going on. I think there's a very large, massive one. I expect to see more of it, but there was nothing. These astrologers and the people who have been pointing towards fear, and even last night online listening to people prognosticate the next 4 years, it was based in a whole bunch of fear, and I think that's the trick. If you want to be in fear, you can be, but that's just not what's going to happen. So in light, I think it's pretty wonderful. I'm going for the positive side of the street. I'm going for the sunny side of the street.
There you go.
Myself. You know what? We are down to 4 minutes left.
Nice. Good discussion, Trisha, ladies.
Thank you so much for calling in. I wish you had called in a little sooner. And Nick, thank you so much for being there, too, and holding the fort, both of you, in New York City. Is there anything either one of you guys has to say about to any of the listeners about giving, or where folks can give, or getting stuff into the folks on Staten Island or anywhere up there? You know what I mean. Give to the...
I heard there's a text that I forget, 90999, something like that. You can look it up. There's the Red Cross. You can just from your phone, with one click, donate $10, and it just comes out in your phone bill. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a nice way. And also, Occupy Sandy has raised $300,000 and are going into more underserved neighborhoods. Even taking the bike that was the bike generator that was at Zuccotti Park out into Brooklyn so people could charge their cell phones. And all you have to do is, I think it's the hashtag is Occupy Sandy, or look it up. It's everywhere. And they're really reaching out all across the city in a way that is building community and challenging the status quo at the same time. So I'm all about that. So remember,
nice.
Occupy Sandy.
Thank you so much, both of you. The Red Cross and Occupy Sandy. Folks, please get online, look it up, hashtag Occupy Sandy, or just giving to the Red Cross. You can find them online real easy, and I've seen where they have the special click into and give to the remnants of Hurricane Sandy and what's going on up there. Ladies, thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thank you.
And thank you for holding the light up there. Please, thank you for holding the light.
Yeah, we do our best. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I want to remind everybody that this program is brought to you by I Love Nicole Show, ilovenicoleshow.com, and correct?
Yep.
And daughtersofisis.com. Come over and see us. It's holiday season. We're running some really great cyber specials right after Thanksgiving, too. Please take note. We are going to have five full days of 20% off for your Christmas shopping right after at midnight, starting midnight on Thanksgiving. And Nick, remind me to keep saying that.
Yeah, and you have some good gift boxes, I noticed, some very good gift ideas there.
Especially the prosperity box with all the goody money content in it. So come by and see us. And until next week, this is Nicole Tomasini and Gwen Berry with The Consciousness Shift. Thank you for listening in. And remember, Galactic Light won the day this week.